Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1111. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, when you only watch two wrestling shows over the weekend, it's like, oh, sometimes I can have a normal weekend and not watch additional wrestling. It's
I
the
pretty
there's
much
no
that
nor
I pretty much that too to do that every weekend. There isn't a WWE PLE. Collision, what's that?
well
CCW, what's
yeah
that?
yeah Collision's been more not than have for sure. I know that I've caught a couple of episodes here and there, but yeah, definitely not gonna be on the menu this week either. And I'm not even watching it as background noise right now. Oh, which it does occasionally get done around these parts. Just so that it gets watched.
And I imagine ordering full gear is not on the itinerary for this weekend.
Oh no. No, I mean they couldn't even talk me into the Hangman win that I knew was coming. Or was that the only one they talked me into?
I think that was the only one that they talked
Yeah,
you into.
okay. Yeah, okay. Well then yeah, that's it. They still, even though things haven't been terrible, like I feel like things haven't been as bad as they had been.
No,
Still, though, not talking me in the door, I guess, like it's one
no.
of those.
And the
There,
wild
there's
thing
been some
is, if
improvements,
they
but.
had mixed the full gear card with the blood and guts matches, maybe made some changes here and there to the makeup of the teams.
Oh,
That's a show they might have actually talked me
oh.
into.
Yeah.
It shows how crazy everything they gave away for free last week was.
That kind of match really seems like one that you need to keep on a PL or a pay-per-view in AEW's case,
And speaking of that, we are definitely in Survivor Series War Games season in WWE.
Yes, we are. And we started off SmackDown with the ladies. Rhea Ripley is ready, despite a broken nose, ready to go crack some skulls here. And Io Sky is with her. Alexa Bliss in. Charlotte Flair. There is trouble in paradise, kids. Charlotte Flair says that you do you, partner. I'm gonna take off. So yeah, that is what ends up happening. So yeah, we get the little what's gonna happen here with Charlotte Flair, so that we don't get the women's team completely locked down, at least as of SmackDown.
Yes, because what is War Games season without just complete disarray and dissension on the baby face side? They know no other way to promote these matches, basically, it seems.
Yeah, it is wild how frequently they go back to that trope. And it's just like you don't have I'm trying to think when is I don't have it pulled up here when Survivor Series is this week or this year. Let's oh, November 29. I mean, yeah, you should be able to tell a story with only a couple of weeks to go here. Like, you don't really need to have dissension to stretch this thing out at all.
No, you really don't. And this and especially, after what happened on after Monday, this ended up obviously incredibly silly. This because I guess this because so many things flow into each other from SmackDown to Raw, I think we can just kind of just jump ahead here. Charlotte Flair returns to the team by Monday.
Yeah, it took her a whole show to make up her mind. She decided she did not want to see her bestie getting her ass kicked, and came out to save the whole crew.
That is exactly what happened there. As after Charlotte Flair walked away on SmackDown, the remaining three members of the team were first beaten down backstage 4-on-3 on SmackDown, and then on Raw. After Alexa Bliss tried to plead her case to bring Charlotte Flair back to the obnoxious chance of what, unfortunately, she was then confronted by the once again the four members of the opposing team, and while being helped out by Rhea and Io, who were still overwhelmed at the 4-on-3 disadvantage, Charlotte Flair returns with kendo stick in hand and cleans house. And makes it, I guess, clear that she's on the team. I'm not sure if they actually made it official or not.
Yeah, I'm not completely sure if they made it official or not, but it would that seems
Obviously,
pretty
she's going to
official to
be.
me. Yeah.
Yes, it does. It does. It again, just kind of pointing out just how silly that whole thing was. And it's not like. At this point, does anyone really think of Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley as this classic feud? They had some matches against each other, but it's really not that complicated.
And it's kind of funny to think of, because both of them, it was each side of the pandemic, wasn't it? Going into the pandemic and then coming out of the pandemic that they had their WrestleMania matches.
It was they did it in 2020, and then maybe not until 2023. I don't know if you would consider that out of the pandemic, because I think we'd be. But
That would have been in front of a crowd, at least maybe a year later than I was thinking. I was thinking
Yes, and they
22.
both and they and they've both split a split wins there.
I guess just because it's been such a long time and they haven't really crossed paths at all, that was the one reason why I felt like it was really strange. Because I'm like you said, like I don't think of them as big rivals. Like, if it would have been hot off the heels of one of those feuds, okay. But it's been, even if it was 23, like it's almost been a full 2 years since those two were really at
It
each
is.
other's
It's
throats.
actually going on 3 years.
Yeah, like,
Yeah, that yeah, and they've barely interacted since. And of
yeah.
course, Charlotte Flair has, of course, done that, reluctant to team thing with Becky Lynch. That was, probably a couple years back,
Oh.
the story and it in a War Games. So they made their peace. It's like compared to that, Rhea and Charlotte is nothing. So yeah, this was very silly, contrived drama that they immediately walked back on Raw.
Yeah, I mean, if you are going to tell that story, at least give it a SmackDown to SmackDown breathing room. I don't think that's too much to, like if you're gonna do it, commit to the bit, man. That's all I'm asking. So that was the first tie-in for SmackDown to Raw. I guess in a lot of ways the last time is now tournament ties into both shows.
Yes, it can and does, yes.
I feel like the individual matches themselves didn't really have a whole lot of overlap. I feel like I've seen the brackets so few times, I don't know who's going to face who when
There is
e
no,
ever e anyone wins.
there have been no brackets.
Okay. Well then, it's kind of weird. It hasn't helped me invest in it at all, like, you know,
No,
because you
this
don't.
thing has kind of started out as a good as a fun idea.
Yeah, I liked it. I
Because
thought it was a good idea.
yeah, and the first matches on Raw were good, especially the Sheamus Nakamura match, and there was some intrigue to some mystery players. The big downfall has been the mystery opponents just being former WWE guys who are in TNA, and they haven't even been gone long enough that anyone really misses them that much. If you're being honest.
Honestly, I was kind of shocked at
And they
the
overstayed their welcome,
reaction
possibly.
that Dolph Ziggler got.
Yeah.
I did think it was curious that both him and Zack Ryder went by their WWE names.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of an interesting choice. So, but I mean, no one made a that big of a deal out of it, other than Zack Ryder saying, "Buy my shirt, please."
Yeah, of course. Yes. And oh my God, was he buried on commentary during this match? Oh, during his match with LA
all.
Knight. Yeah. It really feels like Cole and Graves were going hard on the he's a grown man who plays with toys. What a geek.
Oh yeah, they definitely mentioned that part. I'm not sure that I got that vibe. I also might not have been paying that much attention either. The first match up in the series was not that one though. It was The Miz versus Jey Uso. Was the first one on SmackDown here.
Yeah. And again, this is another match that just didn't, it felt like a foregone conclusion. It just didn't. It's just what I'm saying, that this concept just kind of pretty quickly ran out of gas.
It barely got a start, and it's dead already.
Yeah, and Miz is just other than John Cena using a skull-crushing finale in his match with AJ Styles, he's just not getting any kind of interaction with John Cena out of this entire year of John Cena, which is kind of sad actually, because he
I
was
mean,
a long time rival of Cena's at multiple points actually.
that's the only thing you can say about Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler is that undeniably within probably a time longer ago than I'd like to imagine,
Oh yeah.
both of them interacted with John Cena.
Yes. Yeah, Zack Ryder very infamously. Yes, that image of Zack in the wheelchair holding those flowers for Eve Torres has been reused. I think it's one of those things that's not that it's just a meme that people who aren't even wrestling fans use.
That one's been around for a long, long time.
And then I think there was a period of time it felt like a John Cena versus Dolph Ziggler match took place every single week on Raw.
Oh my gosh, yes. There definitely was a time when that seemed to happen. Dolph was really at the top of the card in that time frame. 'Cause what'd they say, four-time champion?
That's it. That's so wild that's even. I don't think that there's that. Because there's only the one. It's really, there's only the one time he was really world champion. But then there's other weird stuff that they did, like a
Yeah,
something
he
quickie
definitely
with
had.
Edge or something. Yeah, there was just the guy had a weird career for
Oh
sure. Definitely ups and downs roller coaster ride. completely describes the Dolph Ziggler's WWE career.
And I mean, getting out and I guess doing his thing, I suppose. Because I don't watch TNA, I don't really know what he's up to.
No. I do think he is a multiple, he might be a multiple time champion there now by now, but
Oh man. What else? Oh, so next up on the SmackDown list, not tying into both shows either here. Ilya Dragunov takes on Axiom for the US Championship. Right ahead of this, I want to say that they had a backstage segment with Dragunov. Was he interviewed about carrying on the legacy
yeah, and then
of
he
the
was
US
interrupted by
Championship?
Gargano and Ciampa, and he just continues to refuse to face Ciampa because he's a what's the word he used? He didn't call him a loser. What did he call him? I don't remember now.
Yeah,
It,
but
it, it,
I
it's
mean,
it's a childish it's a somewhat childish insult for sure. I mean, but I don't exactly remember what he called him.
oh, they don't have it in the write-up.
Yeah,
They
whatever.
have been consistent about what it is, and I'm like, okay, whatever, guys. Like, I don't
Jackass. It's a
really.
jackass. Yes,
Oh,
yes. Okay,
jackass.
jackass. Okay, yeah, jackass. Just
Yeah, it feels
this is that's.
very. It feels like an 80s insult.
It does, and it's again. This nothing about this Dragunov. I would say I would to avoid repeating myself. Yeah, too much.
Oh.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like anything about this Dragunov. Reign and open challenges work is really working
I
to
liked the
me, at
match a
least.
lot.
The matches were good. I mean, he did get a reaction at the end of the match, so sheer force of work, might be working here. But
Yeah.
again, the whole thing with Ciampa is silly because the whole because
Oh,
that just
yeah.
flow because it just goes against the whole whole purpose of an open challenge. What an open challenge actually is.
Yeah, I feel like they derail open challenges very quickly. Like, there's always some heel that wants to buck the system for one reason or another. Ciampa is just being extra lazy about it for some reason.
No, I actually disagree.
He could just
A
come out
couple
and
of weeks
challenge
in,
him.
but he did. He's
Oh,
done
I
it
guess he did
twice.
last week.
I think he's done it at least twice. Dragunov keeps refusing.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know what the payoff is because it's not like Ciampa is going to beat Dragunov.
No,
Like,
yeah,
that's
no,
kind of
again, it
more
was
the
just.
payoff, honestly, in
Yeah, I
that
don't really know what
situation.
I don't know what the payoff for any of this can be. It's just again, it's just feels like filler, and maybe Dragunov's getting some rub from it, but no one else is.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to do Axiom any good. Like, as much as he held up his end of the bargain in that match, I don't think that benefits him or Nathan Frazer in the least bit. Next up, Sami Zayn comes out and declares that he is finally cleared and ready for some action. So Solo Sikoa and the MFTs bring the action pretty promptly.
Yeah, but they are also confronted by the dynamic team of Shinsuke Nakamura,
Yep, that's
the
one.
Motor City Machine Guns,
Okay.
and Rey Fénix,
Yep,
along
that
with
is.
Sami Zayn. Yes. Five guys who absolutely work together, and it makes completely sense.
This was one where I'm like, when they talked about it backstage later in the show, and Nick Aldis goes, next Friday We're doing a traditional
2 weeks.
two weeks.
Because
We're
that's
doing.
going to be the show the night after Thanksgiving show. That's also going to be taped. So, yeah, just give people just put on a long match for fill to fill the time. No one's watching anyway.
And that's it. When you could, I felt like you could see this match coming last week. I'm just like, how? Like, there's no way this is going on a modern day PLE. Was the only
No.
thought that was running through my brain. I'm like, oh, okay, they're just doing it on when all this said SmackDown in 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, okay. This
Yeah.
checks out. This makes a
Yes.
lot more sense now.
It is what it. Yeah. It. It. It's
Yeah,
just. It's. It just. It. It's all just feels like time. Just time filler and giving some guys something to do. It just. It's not. It's nothing really more than that.
and I mean, we kind of talked about a little bit. LA Knight defeats Zack Ryder in what is not a surprising outcome.
Right, yeah.
And then, oh, man, we got just a lot of championship matches. This one not terribly competitive though. Jade Cargill runs through B-Fab so that she gets one more championship defense under her belt than Mike Santana.
That is true, and that is a good one. Yes. Jade Cargill does get to, I'm pretty sure Jade Cargill is getting a much longer reign than Mike Santana did. Even by actual time holding the title, let alone counting title defenses.
I believe that she will surpass 32 days also.
Yes, yes,
Oof,
yes, yes.
that is still a rough one. And then it's kind of rounding out SmackDown here and also leading into Monday Night Raw then. Cody Rhodes takes on Bronson Reed for the WWE Championship. And a move that surprises absolutely no one. Interference occurs, and we get a
Well,
no.
well, there's an important backstage segment here that informs what happens here. Paul Heyman requests a meeting with Nick Aldis, where he informs him that Heyman can pick anyone on the active WWE roster to join his team. Anyone. Very key words there. So then, once the brouhaha, the Usos come out and the brouhaha starts, and Logan Paul's involved, and it's CM Punk not there, not appearing on SmackDown last week. So it did look like it was actually 3-on-3. Wow. Until Drew McIntyre shows up, and he helps the heels get the advantage, beats down the baby faces, leaves Cody laying. While Nick Aldis is just walking down the aisle with egg all over his face.
And honestly, it's also important because Paul Heyman drive home that point
Yes.
on Raw then again the following show about anyone being available. And I felt like that reveal was not terribly surprising given the situation.
Right. No. But we'll get there when we get there.
At least at the end of SmackDown, the baby faces are down four to f well, I guess they had 4-4, but like you said, CM Punk just wasn't there.
Yeah, yes, they officially added Jimmy Uso to the team. And what felt it was kind of a throwaway backstage segment, honestly. Although
Well,
Jay did not look happy at that at the news.
Big Jim hasn't won any big matches.
No, he is definitely the weak link on his team. And I'm wondering if something is going to be end up being done about that.
That is the thing in this situation
Because if someone's getting taken out of this match and replaced by a mystery partner or something, it's Big Jim.
that yeah he just has not Yeah, he just hasn't moved up the ladder. I don't know where he has to move either. Like, I mean, they barely squeezed his brother in there. I'm not sure that he's gonna get there too, honestly.
Right.
Yeah, I guess moving on to Raw itself here. John Cena is popular, especially
Really?
when you're in New York City, which just feels like a given that it's a WWE home base, it feels like a home base for John Cena despite his Boston background.
Right. Definitely. This week, Madison Square Garden in New York City came out strong for one Mr. John Cena. And Cena, for his part, did everything he could to not say the word Boston in front of this crowd. I think he does his usual spiel. He's interrupted by Dominic Mysterio, who demands a rematch. Cena says, "Why don't we do it tonight?" Dom refuses and then says he wants it in his hometown of San Diego at Survivor Series. And then Cena still wants a match with Dom, but he's confronted by the remainder of Judgment Day and being beaten down 3-on-1 until first Sheamus, then Rey Mysterio shows up, and we have ourselves a six-man tag to open up Raw.
Yeah, I mean, this is quite the star-studded kickoff to the show here. Rey Mysterio making a comeback after what was generically called leg surgery. I'm like, okay. That sounds like I lo always love in hockey when it's like it's a lower body injury, it's an upper body injury. It's a pretty vague term, guys. Leg, while kind of particular, doesn't specify which one, where exactly on the leg. Ray looked good given the situation. The man continues to amaze, honestly. And what also should be a surprise to no one? JD McDonough takes the pin for Judgment Day on AA for
No, that is not surprising at all. No, not surprising. John Cena gets the win in his last night on Raw. Everyone is very happy.
as they should be. It was a fun start to Raw.
It really was a fun start to Raw.
So
But then that rolled into a very strange segment. That actually happened during a commercial break, where the Judgment Day gets into it with comedian Andrew Schultz and several members of the New York Giants, including Cam Skatebo, who is out with an injury with an injury. So really kind of surprising that he's doing anything physical at a wrestling show.
Yeah, that was even though it was not very much, anything was kind of surprising. And another one of those instances where you're like, I try to figure out why I made JD McDonagh's short jokes for so long. Because he seems to be taller than more people than I would like to admit on the main roster. And a lot of those New York Giants players, including Scadabo.
I think the tallest person in the sex segment was probably Scholes.
Yes, he was.
And oh, him not backing down at all and him acting all tough. Oh, that was that ooh, that was shit. That was bad. Ugh.
Yep, those renowned tough guy comedians.
Yeah, WWE star fucking knows no bounds here. Because it's just kind of came out of nowhere. It's gonna be apropos of nothing. Nothing's gonna come of any of this. It was just a weird moment to get on ESPN, basically.
Yeah, it was a really weird side trip
Yeah,
that
and
they
then after these
decided to make.
fans cause all this trouble, they're still allowed to stay.
Yeah, funny how that works. Funny how that works. Yeah, and that was kind of weird that that kind of happened. And then we get Stephanie Vaquer getting ready to come out for a in-ring interview with the lovely Jackie Redmond. And she gets attacked by Nikki Bella, who appears to be ready for a match, but is just here for a beatdown
Yeah.
and a little bit
Well,
of smack talking.
she really did was throw her into the screen, which people take that pretty much all the time, but it left Stephanie McHare pretty incapacitated, so Nikki Bella could deliver her monologue. So it's just like, I did not like how Stephanie McHare was presented there at all. Like, should have done more to her than that, because it just felt like, why is she not
Well,
fighting back?
that part of the segment was strange by itself. The delivery of the promo itself left a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, Nikki's out of practice with these kind of promos, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we've
But
talked
Nikki's got
about
to
her
make.
being a more natural heel, but I'm like, oh, this didn't work.
She wants to be beloved now, though. It's gonna be a weird thing, and she has to make this work because we're running out of things to do with her.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, she really needs to win some matches before she can do
Yeah, she
anything.
does. So that's gonna be interesting to see what happens at Survivor Series there, for in a number of ways. You know, Stephanie McCare is developing a reputation for being able to work with a broomstick. And then, so if this is not a good match, it's completely Nikki's fault. And then you throw in, what do you do with the result of this match? It still feels like Stephanie McCare hasn't been champion long enough, and she's hot, and it's not, she's.
It's not really wearing off yet.
No, and but
So,
Nikki
yeah.
does need to score a big win here, or I don't know. I don't know where she goes. I don't know what you do with her from anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, even though she's a legend, again, that's something that we've said time and again about a lot of people. You can't just keep losing. Like, if you want someone to be relevant, they've got to at least win every now and again. And it feels like Nikki is really in need of a W right now, and having her challenge the champion leads to some conclusions, like you're having. You know, it's just like,
Yeah.
did they pull the trigger just because they are kind of between a rock and a hard spot with her?
Yeah.
But yeah, they really Nikki really should have laid more of a beat down on Stephanie before going with that promo. I feel like that's rusty part of her game too.
Yeah.
In a backstage segment, Bailey and Lyra Valkyria were talking. They run into the Kabuki Warriors. Bailey tells Lyra to move along and that she will be there momentarily. And she delivers on her promise after being offered a spot in the Kabuki Warriors slash Asuka's team for Survivor Series.
Yes. Bailey, refuses that spot, but as Lyra Valkyria thinks that all is well with them, she gets called an idiot, and Bailey walks off.
Yeah, I mean Bailey's still having some weird tendencies, so I feel like that one's fairly easily written off. Yeah, I don't know if there's a whole lot more to come of that one. And then was this did they do back-to-back matches? Well, we brought up the name Dolph Ziggler. He ended up being the mystery opponent for Solo Sikoa. Again, not really surprising that the talent currently under contract is the one getting the W in
No.
this year
And
matchup.
again, Solo Sikoa is a cure for insomnia right now. So it's just like it just adds another thing to this tournament. That's just like this is just this is this is just this is running out of steam. And of course, what well, you know, it's becoming very obvious who's going to win this thing. It's been kind of obvious since before the thing, the tournament, maybe before the tournament was even announced, who's going to win this thing. So that isn't helping either. But we'll get to him. We'll get to him later.
Yep. He's coming up pretty quick. Yeah, we already talked about it because the next segment up, other than additional, there was a lot of star fucking going around the Raw camera since they were in New York City
Oh, yeah, yes,
this
definitely.
week. But talked about the Alexa Bliss women's segment there already, so skipping through that one. We get the War Games, and then yeah, we got the War Games hype video. Then we get Becky Lynch taking on Maxine Dupri for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. This match got some pretty serious time. The big news coming out of it, though, I would have to say, is that one AJ Lee shows up when Becky Lynch seemingly has things under control.
But she's about to, but she was trying to unbuckle the turnbuckle pad to use that as an illegal
As a weapon.
weapon. So that's what AJ Lee just stopped her from doing.
Yeah, that is true. That AJ Lee doesn't do anything but come about halfway down the aisle or so, and maybe blow some kisses at Miss Lynch. But this distracts her long enough for Maxine Dupri to hit a crossbody and to get the 1-2-3. And be your new women's Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
And she got quite the positive reaction from the
Quite the
crowd in
positive
attendance.
reaction. She really has stepped up her game lately in this whole deal with Becky Lynch. Yeah, she does work really hard, especially from coming from from where she came from and how
Yeah.
far she has come quite a long way. You
Yeah,
gotta give her credit. Yeah.
Yeah, she's one where it obviously would have made sense for her to have spent some time in NXT for reasons that did not ever happen.
Yes, those reasons are most likely because Vince McMahon thought she was hot and he was still in charge at
What?
the
Yep. So that could be the
Yes.
reason.
Yeah, she has had a very kind of strange run, a kind of a strange wrestling career, because it just feels like she's someone who would have gotten a big push in the 90s and 2000s, but this day and age, she's actually the underdog. It's such a weird thing that someone who looks like her is considered the underdog. And we've had to really push the story of how hard she's working because people do think that, there's more than just, looks at this point, and you have to have some wrestling ability and whatnot. And
Oh.
it's just hilarious to me. It's just like how much of an underdog story she's being presented in. It's just like finally. Finally, skinny blonde white women are getting a chance in this world. Yes.
There is some
It's
interesting
some,
commentary to be had
yeah,
there.
yes. It may be saying something positive about where wrestling's come from, that she can't just get by in her look. She's had to really work hard, and it's good and good. And again, Becky's been Intercontinental Champion long enough. It created a weird issue with between her and whoever was the world champion in terms of what match was actually considered a bigger deal on numerous shows since she's been champion. So yeah, this. It's returning the balance to the Intercontinental Championship truly being secondary. It doesn't. It's weird, but it's actually a good thing.
And I mean, I feel like just because Maxine hasn't really wrestled anyone, it's one of those few times where you're like, everything's a fresh matchup.
Everything's a fresh match, and of course, there's the question. There's always the question. Can she keep it? Was her win a fluke? Blah 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 blah.
Oh.
So she'll. They can continue her story of her. Surprising people and scoring and getting big wins. And yeah, that'll be good. Good thing to do in the mid card of the women. Yes, and again, it frees up Becky back into, world title mix if she if you know. Obviously, her and AJ Lee is continuing. It's.
Yeah, that was another one where I'm like, they didn't need a
No,
championship at stake to have
don't.
a meaningful match.
Right, no. And we're still gonna, probably put a little bit of a delay on the singles match because obviously during the AJ Lee promo segment portion of the show, we got the flashing red sign that they will both be joining, War Games teams in the interim.
That was the only thing we didn't talk about the women's segment is they did have a 4-on-4 matchup set up, and as you duly noted, there were some definite arrows pointing in certain directions for both of them to be involved in war games, which
Yeah.
obviously makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
Next up, Gunther versus Javon Evans in the last time is now tournament. I feel like there was a lot said about this match. You said you wanted some time to digest it, sir.
Yes, yes.
What has the
Because
digestion done for you? I have an opinion, and it's ready to go.
Okay, well, first of all, this match was probably too long and just killed by commercials.
Oh.
It did feel like they wanted to get all their commercial time in before the main events, promo segment. Yeah,
Yes.
so that could go 20 some minutes without interruption. So yeah, that hurt this match, and I'm just struggling with Javon Evans. I'm not as in love with him as a lot of people, a lot of other people seem to be, including people in the business. Reports today that, John Cena loves the guy now. Sheamus wrestled him over the weekend, so he thinks he's great. I'm kind of pumping the brakes a little bit. I'm just like, I feel like I'm being told too much that he's so great. He's the future of the business, all this. It's just like there's still things to work on here, people. It's still a bit of a work in progress. Let's slow it down a little bit here.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the since Jeremy and I talk about NXT, I feel like both of us are all in on Javon. But also, yeah, I feel like there is obviously a usefulness to NXT that even people that were as developed as Roxanne Perez, who I'm using as a candidate because there just aren't a lot of people that young in NXT. And
Some of it's yes.
Javon is legitimately that young. I do think that as much as I am excited by him, I also think that doing the usual NXT tropes of okay, he's been a baby face. They'll keep him baby face. He's got to have a heel run at some point. I always think that that is a valuable tool that they use down there before anyone gets called up, pretty much.
Because I feel like he still doesn't have his, and he's done something. He's, of course, obviously impressive moves. He's maybe kind of a little deceptively tall, and he has, been working it out and, and putting some more muscle mass on, all good things. But yeah, he's persona wise, he's still kind of doing the whole awestruck's happy to be here thing, and that's could get him he, could get him eaten alive on the main roster, depending on how on how much they play into it. And again, it's just a lot of it just feels like I'm just being told too much how great this guy is, and I'm still not totally all in here. It's just. Yeah, I was going to say something else. What was it?
Well, was there anything else? You kind of mentioned that the match was too long.
It probably was too long. And again, they're
Anything
trying to
else
hide
to go
they were
on?
trying to they're almost trying to highlight him too much. Like he's kicking out of things he shouldn't have kicked out of, and he keeps fighting back. It's again, it's Gunther. He's the 2-time former world champion, longest reigning Intercontinental champion of all time. Like he didn't need to fight back that much.
I'm with you. That's what, 'cause I didn't have to digest it over the evening, but I'm just like, when I was watching it in time, I'm just like, he had one more commercial break than he needed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the match definitely did, of course.
Javon had like two comebacks, and
Yes.
it was just like, one's enough, guys. Like, what are we doing here? Like,
Yeah,
again,
and
an
yeah.
unabashed Javon fan, and it's just like, no, he was made to look good already. Gunther sold some of his offense.
Yeah.
We're like you said, Gunther's like one of the I feel like I've been mentioning him as the John Cena's last opponent since John Cena said he was going to have a last opponent.
Right, yeah, I think a lot of people were, and again, yeah. He was. This is his return since SummerSlam. This is his return for being gone for over 3 months, and it was with so little fanfare and just so. He needed a more dominant win than this because people's last memory of him before this is losing his title and getting his nose broken.
Well, he did get slightly remixed music, I
He
think.
did well. It's his original music, actually. It's
Ah.
NXT UK music.
Ah, okay. Well, since I did not watch NXT UK, that would be why I'm not familiar with
Yeah.
it.
Right. So yeah, those are my biggest complaints of the match, and I know it's just being picky and me just being maybe a little more little contrarian here, but again, it does feel like they're doing. I'm worried that they're ultimately going to do Javon a disservice by doing the hey everyone look how great he is, and well telling us without showing and without
No.
again doing that thing where it's like. Hey everybody, it's Javon from NXT. More than half of these people have never watched NXT before in their lives.
Yeah, you got to do a
And
little more. They
not doing the Lash Legend thing where you're bringing them in, the person in with a defined role, link them up with someone else and who's already there, ease them in a little bit more. It's this guy's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that sometimes doesn't work. A lot of times it doesn't work.
Oh yeah, they've definitely had their problems with their transitions, like you said. Like
Yes.
they depend upon it upon that connection too much, or the people in the crowd that do pay attention to NXT to lead the people that don't watch NXT, and it does not happen that frequently.
Right.
Last, but not least, we had kind of talked about the fact that Paul Heyman could have anyone on his team. So that leads us to the end of Raw here. And what would be I would think, 'cause they have 5-5 now for the men.
It does appear so,
Yeah, okay.
but we were at 4-4, and there was a huge Pier 6 brawl going on until Brock Lesnar's music hits, and the mood changes, and CM Punk's left in the ring alone. Brock makes his jaunt to the ring, gets in, suplexes Punk a couple times, then Cody gets in, he takes his suplexes. Brock standing tall. They go to the trope that the very overused trope of putting this the sign off on the screen. This one was really unnecessary.
Yeah, that was. I don't think they've been. This was the most egregious one I feel like
Yeah.
they've had.
Because no one felt like this show was ending at all. I mean, at this
Yeah.
point, everyone knew Roman Reigns was showing up.
Hey.
They knew he was showing up before Brock even did.
Yeah, it's one of those you can't that kind of announcement, like I feel like you need to match it right away. Like you can't
Yeah.
let that sit for another show.
Yeah. So,
Especially
Roman
since the
Reigns.
baby faces kind of got their ass kicked the night, the show previous.
Right. Yeah, and it's we're 2 weeks away. They're in Madison Square Garden. So yeah, of course, Roman Reigns shows up, makes his way down the ring, stares off with Brock. They actually got people hotly anticipating Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar squaring off again, which a few years ago seemed impossible.
Hey, I will admit, they've gone away from it for a while
Yeah,
here, so it
they've
definitely
gone away
feels
for it's been
fresher.
over 3 years. It has been over 3 years, yes. And they're back to Brock is the heel, Roman is the face. Roman gets to knock Brock out of the ring with a Superman punch as the security fills the arena walkway and gets Brock away. Wonder how Cody and Punk feel about how they were portrayed here in comparison to one Roman Reigns, who gets to be the hero, the real hero.
That would be an interesting discussion backstage, one would imagine.
But Roman Reigns is also jumped by Bronson Reed. He forgot about Bronson Reed, who was going to go to the top rope for the tsunami. Roman Superman punches him. A huge brawl continues to break out. Police show up. Just a wild scene leading to Roman Reigns spearing Bronson Reed and two police officers through the barricade to end the show. And of course, during the day today, body cam footage from the officers' lapels it starts begin circulating.
Oh my God, I did not catch that. Hilarious. Hilarious. We know 100% that is not a real police officer. Hilarious to have that gag though.
Yeah.
100% behind
Yeah,
it.
it is a good gag, and I got it. We seemingly have the war games all set at five on men's war games all set 5-on-5, but I imagine we're gonna get some because we have to. We're gonna get some disarray and dissension amongst the babyface team heading in, because as we know, Roman Reigns and CM Punk don't like each other. Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes don't like each other, but have been, but of course they have been teamed before. And Roman Reigns, with the last we saw Roman Reigns, he was incredibly angry with the Usos and did not want to see him again, them again, until Christmas. And as you can see, this is
Little
well before
before Christmas.
Christmas, well before
Yeah.
Christmas. So
Yeah.
they are. So I mean, but this is at least going to be a lot more believable and a lot more logical than the dissension in the women's match. That, because these guys really do have things they need to work through if they're not going to get destroyed at Survivor Series.
And they've been on TV, again, compared to what did we say, 3, close to 4 years for Charlotte and Rhea. The stuff that's happened with the guys has taken place within the last calendar year,
Yes. Jimmy and Jay
for
have
the
had
most part.
tension. Jay and Punk have had tension. Yeah, Reigns has had tension with everybody. And that heel team is insanely stacked. That is a monster team.
That is wild with Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre, and Brock Lesnar.
Logan Paul is the little guy. Well, maybe Bron Breaker actually is, but
It's wild that Bron Breakker is the small guy in this situation. 'Cause he's not small.
and yes, on the babyface team, the weak link is Jimmy Uso. On the heel team, the weak link is, I guess, Logan Paul. I mean, it's just like they shouldn't win this. These babyfaces, they got to get rid of Jimmy at least. And get someone else in there. Which, again, it will not surprise me if they go that route. Because he really is such a weak link.
Yeah, he is sticking out like a, even though he fits in storyline wise. Star power wise, he is sticking out like a sore thumb.
Just toughness and size, and he is so, I mean, Jay obviously has the star power, but. But then you look at this team, really only Roman Reigns can match size and strength with any of almost any of the opposing team.
The babyface team is much smaller. Outside of
They feel very outgunned here, even with
outside
Roman
of
Reigns.
Reigns, I was gonna say, because Reigns is still smaller than Drew and Brock.
And Reed, of
Brock.
course.
Reed's got the weight, but not the height.
Yeah.
So, it is kind of wild when the biggest, babyface is smaller than at least 2.5 of the heel opponents.
Yeah. But
So,
boy, oh boy, does this feel like it just, you know what? It feels like a monster match. It really does. This is, for star power, this is definitely the biggest war games they've done.
and like you said, like this one does. It feels like it fits together storyline wise.
Really does. I mean, you got Drew McIntyre's across the ring from everyone he hates.
Yes. Yep.
Reed and Breaker have made enemies of everybody. Logan Paul, of course, also fits into makes an enemy out of everybody. And Brock's just there to hurt people because it's just he just
That's what
likes
he
it.
likes to do.
He's a hired gun.
Yep, and he's perfectly fine with his role and has played it for quite some
Yeah.
time. So, yeah, good on Brock there, as far as that goes. Anything else to talk about in the world of WWE, since we already admitted that we did not watch Collision this week?
No, I think we're good. I don't think anything else
Because,
happened. So yeah, it just we went through the TV.
it's been a quiet news week. Like, I don't feel like there's anything too wild out there.
No.
Belt time beer for the show here. This is an oldie but a goodie. I realized that maybe I should get to drinking some of these. My father-in-law always gets me a six-pack of a craft beer at Christmas. This one, Giant Eagle slash Meijer slash Kroger special here. Columbus Brewing Company, just their standard IPA, 6.3% alcohol. It's very good. I have had it quite a number of times over the years. Yeah, Columbus Brewing Company, one of the rather larger ones here in the city. They have a pretty decent stretch over the state of Ohio for distribution. If you happen to find any of their beers, I pretty much would say high suggest on pretty much any of them. Very, very good brewery. Columbus Brewing Company, one to visit when you're in town. They yet again have two locations, west side and east side. Yeah, you get your options one way or the other if you want to go visit them. So that's the Belt Time beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.